going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Zephaniah. If you find Malachi, the last book, the Old Testament, just turn back about three books or something like that, and you'll come to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah 3. I'd like to look at verses 14 to 17. Zephaniah chapter 3. Our passage this morning starts with an exhortation to God's people, to God's elect, to those that He's everlastingly loved. And this is what the scripture says, verse 14, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." Now, sing. Just a few minutes after this message, Lord willing, Brother Gary will come, lead us in a song, too, and we'll sing. We'll verbalize. But the singing that the Lord exhorts His people to is not merely an outward verbal singing, but it's a song of the heart. It's that which you and I can't see, but God Almighty. Listen to Psalm 77:6. "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Have you had those times when you wake up in the middle of the night? You just, I don't know if I'm awake, I don't know if I'm asleep, but I'm just, the Lord in His infinite mercy and grace would cause my heart to be mindful of His presence. And in the heart, I've said, things are always worse at night. I try to tell myself that when something happens. But then with the presence of the Lord and the realization of His goodness and mercy, David said, "I call to remembrance my song, crying unto Him." Now obviously here the Lord is speaking to the church, to the bride, to the elect, to those that have been given reason to rejoice with all of her heart. She's exhorted to sing a song of praise to the God of all grace, God that has shown her distinguishing grace. That's what Moses said. "Lord, show me your glory." Here's the glory of the Lord. "I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Not of him that willeth, him that runneth." What's the issue? It's God that shows mercy. God Almighty. And she's exhorted to sing that song that she sings right now by faith. And we do. We sing in our hearts unto the God of all grace, but do we not sing in our hearts through a glass darkly? Oh, but there's coming a time that we're going to sing a song with perfect sight. I remember the words of a believer, one God called out of darkness, I'm convinced. And they said this, they were dying. They were dying. And told me, he said, I want you to know something. I wouldn't trade places with you for anything. In just a little bit, I'm going to see perfectly. This song that the saints will sing, listen to Revelation 5:9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." They sung a new song. Well, you said, I thought you said that we were going to sing the same song. It is the same song, but it's new every time we sing it. I've heard the message of God's sovereign grace, the message of God's electing, Christ's particular redeeming, the Holy Spirit's irresistible, distinguishing, calling grace. I've heard it and heard it and heard it, and every time I hear it, by the grace of God, it's new every time. Tell me one more time how the Lord put away my guilt. Tell me how He's had mercy on me. And what reason has the Lord given His people to sing this song? Look at verse 15. Here's the reason. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not see evil anymore. Now I'll tell you, a believer's got something to sing about in his heart. Isaiah 44:23, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Sing, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. We sing with all creation praises the Lord. In subjection to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness. But here's what all the earth sings. God Almighty has had mercy to Jacob. Who was Jacob? That's one the Lord loved. Jacob have I loved. What about Esau? God was pleased to leave him to himself. What are we going to say to these things? Let God be true and every man's a liar. That's what it is. Does God have the right to pass by one and show mercy to another? Does He have that right? He's God. He's God. Four reasons given right here for God's people to sing from the heart. Here's the first one. He hath taken away thy judgments. Judgments. God's people, now listen, have never been under the wrath of God. I've heard people say, well, we were under the wrath of God at one time, but then after He called us out of darkness. Really? Really? How is it that Almighty God can say through the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us, His people, His elect, His beloved, those that He chose before the foundation of the world and entrusted to the surety, His Son. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. If Almighty God has ever shown mercy to one person, He's eternally shown mercy to that person in Christ. God doesn't change. I change not. God's people are blessed people. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Won't charge him with it. Why? Because he eternally saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You say, well, that happened in time. I agree with you. But Almighty God eternally saw it, showed mercy. So the bride sings the song of praise in her heart unto the Lord. Why? Because the Lord has taken away her judgments. How many times have we sinned against God? How many times have we deserved in ourselves the judgments for those sins? And Almighty God has taken them away. Here's the second thing. He hath cast out thine enemy. He has as our conquering surety. I looked this word up. Cast out. Cast out. Now you know what that means. Cast out. Well, I thought I meant, I knew what it meant too. Let me tell you what it means. He's faced it. He faced it. He dealt with it. It wasn't swept under the rug. Almighty God has cast out thine enemy. How? The scripture says, He, the Father, hath made him sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's like when Almighty God cast out the enemies that were in possession of the land of promise before God's people went in. God Almighty, the conquering God, dealt with them. I tell you what he's done for his church. He's overthrown everything that opposes the church. Sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, the flesh. He hath cast out thine enemy. Here's the third thing, verse 15. Sing, O daughter of Jerusalem, because the King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, the King of Israel, God's spiritual Israel, Jews and Gentiles, those in whose hearts he rules by grace and power and mercy, true Jews in Christ, he is in her midst. Now we know that the scripture declares, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of you. There is a special blessing when God's people, God's sheep, assemble themselves together to hear the gospel of God's sovereign grace. I'm in the midst of you. But I'll tell you this, knowing that he never leaves nor forsakes his own, knowing that he is her present, precious king who rules over and reigns, protecting them, defending them and delivering them out of the hands of their enemies. And therefore, number four out of verse 15, here's a reason we sing in our hearts to the Lord, thou shalt not see evil anymore. What do you mean? You're not going to experience the penalty of it. You're not going to bear the bulk, the brunt, the weight, the judgment of that which we deserve in ourselves. You're not going to see it. Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has put it away. God's redeemed. God's people. They're secure. They're happy. They're safe in the Lord. And even if the Lord is pleased to send chastisement, inflictions, even the trials of God's elect are messengers of love from him. What if I get sick? Doesn't change God's love for me. What if I'm broke? Doesn't change anything. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Oh, by divine wisdom, God Almighty is going to teach and mature his people. Sing, blessed church, you who are the bride, the one he's everlastingly loved and purposed to show mercy. Because verse 16 says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Now here the Lord, through the prophet Zephaniah, speaks of that day. And you know, often when we hear that term, that day, it's talking about the day of judgment. But in the context of this scripture, it's not the day of judgment. But I'll tell you what day it is. In the context, it's the day in which our enemies, the ones that the Lord has faced and cast out and dethroned, it's those enemies from which we need continual deliverance every day. They'll raise up their ugly head in temptation and come and try God's people. The Lord says, in that day, it'll be said to Jerusalem, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let not thine hands be slack. This day is the day. Yesterday was the day, and I'll tell you, by the grace of God, if the Lord leaves us here, tomorrow will be that day that I need to be delivered. Remember verse 15, he hath cast out thine enemy. The Lord is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not see evil anymore. Therefore, verse 16, don't be afraid of the enemies. Let not thine hands be slack. Don't let your hands be weak or fearful. Don't faint in spirit. Be of good courage. My heart was drawn as I was preparing this, that statement that the Lord told Peter. He said, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. He wants to come after you. What he wants to do is he wants to sift you as wheat. But he said, you listen to me, Simon. I prayed for you. I want you to pray for me. But that the Lord would pray for his people, for his sheep, for the flock of his pasture, for those that the Father has given him eternally in electing grace, that he would pray, I've prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when you're revived, when you're restored, strengthen the brethren. In that day, it'll be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. And where does the assurance come? Where does the strength come from this precious exhortation? Listen to Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Last verse for this morning, this first message of verse 17. Concerning, let not thy hands be slack. Verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. May we realize, as I look at this last verse just for a moment, the precious truths that are revealed in this scripture, they belong to God's people right now. Listen to this. The Lord thy God. Jehovah, the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah Jesus. In all of God's covenant mercy, before the foundation of the world, Almighty God covenanted with himself on behalf of a people that he purposed to show mercy. That's what David said. This is all my salvation. This is all my hope. He made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation. That's all of it. God chose to show mercy to me. The Lord thy God. He has set up his throne in Zion. He lives and reigns and governs in the hearts of his people. Listen to the Lord's word, John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know where the Lord is? Well, one of the places I know he is, is in the midst of his people in their hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Lord that dwells in the hearts of the people. Here's what he said in verse 17. He's mighty. He is almighty. Concerning the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, how much does he have? Listen to this. All power. In heaven and earth is given unto the Son, that he should give eternal life to who? To as many as the Father has given him. You know what he's going to do concerning his elect? He's going to save them. That's what he's going to do. When he laid down his life, John 10:15 says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He died for the sheep. He died for God's elect. He is mighty. If God be for us, who can be against us? The scripture says concerning the mighty God, he will save. He will save. I heard Brother Henry Mahan say one time, I can't remember if Henry told me or if I just heard him say it, doesn't matter, but he said, I've heard people and they believe that God has done all he can do and he's just waiting on man to exercise his free will. He said, well, let me ask you this. If the Lord's done all he can do, if he's done all he can do, and he's waiting on man to exercise his free will, why pray to the Lord? The Lord's already done all he can do, if that's the case, which is not. He said, why don't you just start praying to the person and try to convince them to do it? My friend, listen to the one that the saints sing in their heart unto. The God that will save. He will save. The Lord has saved us. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When was salvation given to God's elect? Before the world began. Are you sure about that, Marvin? Absolutely. God said it. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. To who? To his people. To his elect. So he hath saved us. And I'll tell you this, he is saving us right now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's people are being saved right now. Right now. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. Look this up and tell me if I'm not right here. Where it says them that are saved, those that are being saved. Look up the literal. Those that are being saved right now. And in them that perish, that are saved. And I tell you this, he will save us. That's the very truth that the angel of the Lord said concerning the birth of the Messiah. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Imagine It is the joy of the Lord to rejoice over his people. Jeremiah 32:41, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. He says, he will rest in his love. He's going to be silent in his love. What does that mean? That means that he will continue in his love without any variation, without any disturbance, without any change. We will never be separated, not God's people, from his love. I said a while ago, when he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love, if Almighty God has ever loved a man with an everlasting love, he don't change. He does not change. If he's ever loved him, he'll always love him. He's never moving from the love that he has for his people. And then last statement is, he will joy over thee with singing. My heart, though by faith, I know that that's true right there. I cannot contain the truthfulness of this last statement. It's true. It's true. But I just cannot contain the fullness of it. He will joy over thee with singing. I remember one scripture that was talking about the Lord singing. It says that after the Lord had eaten his supper with his disciples, the scripture says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The great God of mercy not only loves his saints, but he loves to love them. He joys over them. He will joy over them with singing. John Calvin made this statement in closing. I'm going to have to paraphrase it because of some of the big words he used. I had to look them up, find out what he was talking about. But I'll read you what he said, just, you know. He made this observation concerning joying over his people with singing. He said, it may not appear to us that God should be described as a husband who burns with love for his wife, that is, with singing. But we must fully learn how great is God's favor toward his people who has humbled himself in the person of his precious Son for our sake. And we must observe that whatever is calculated in these scriptures to set forth the love of God does not deviate from his glory, for his chief glory is that vast and inexpressible goodness by which he has embraced us and which he will show us his love to the end. Someone says, well, I just don't understand how it could be said that God will joy over thee with singing. I don't understand the fullness of it either, but that doesn't mean it's not so. If God says that he joys over his people with singing, let me tell you what he does. He joys over his people with singing. Remember the verse of Scripture in Song of Solomon 4:9, when the Lord was speaking to his bride, the one that he has loved, cherished, betrothed himself to. He said, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse, with one of thine eyes. Here's what he said. With one look from you to me, by faith, you've stolen my heart. May the Lord add his blessing upon the reading and preaching of his gospel for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's take